In today's news headlines, Donald Trump's Attorney General nominee William Barr is testifying before the Senate Judiciary Committee on Tuesday for his confirmation hearings. Barr has already served as Attorney General in the George H.W. Bush administration. He's likely to face scrutiny over a 19-page memo he had written in June 2018 to the Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein about his views on the special counsel's investigation into election wrongdoing, and specifically his narrow definition of obstruction of justice charges. On Tuesday morning, Hawaii Democrat Senator Mazie Hirono spoke to CNN ahead of Barr's confirmation hearing and said this.
I would want to get a very firm commitment from Mr. Barr that he will not interfere with the Mueller investigation in any way, shape, or form. And considering that Mr. Barr wrote a 19-page memo outlining how Mueller's checking into whether or not the president had engaged in obstruction of justice, that kind of investigation by Mueller had no basis. I want to make sure that he will not interfere with Mueller's continuing investigation as to whether or not the president has engaged in obstruction of justice, because that is totally contrary to what Mr. Barr wrote in his 19-page memo.
That's Senator Mazie Hirono, a Democrat, speaking to CNN on Tuesday about William Barr's nomination. Also on Tuesday, Elizabeth Holtzman, a former Democratic congresswoman who was a member of the House Judiciary Committee during the Nixon Watergate scandal, wrote an op-ed in the Washington Post about Barr. Holtzman takes issue with Barr's analysis of the Nixon impeachment, saying Barr's misguided and clumsy attempt to rewrite history is his broader effort to elevate the president into a kind of unaccountable monarch. This is part of a quiet Republican campaign over the past generation to locate in the Constitution grounds for a powerful unitary executive who is virtually above the law. Meanwhile, the longest U.S. government shutdown in history continues with no end in sight as Donald Trump tweets his days away. On Monday, Trump retweeted an article that his son Donald Jr. had posted from the extremist right-wing website Daily Caller, which claimed to be an anonymous op-ed written by a senior government official praising the shutdown because it is, quote, an opportunity to strip wasteful government agencies for good. On Tuesday morning, Trump tweeted, "Why is Nancy Pelosi getting paid when people who are working are not?" Meanwhile, the repercussions of the shutdown are being felt far and wide. Transportation Security Administration, or TSA, workers are not being paid. And the Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport, which is apparently the nation's busiest airport, just announced that travelers should allow 3 hours to clear security because of the shortage of TSA workers. Trump gave a speech to the Farm Bureau on Monday, even as the U.S. Department of Agriculture was going without funding in the shutdown. Farmers are now unable to get their loan applications processed and are awaiting their farm subsidy payments that are delayed because of the shutdown. But during his speech, Trump defended the shutdown and his demand for a border wall by repeating the many debunked assertions and outright lies that he's been touting.
With criminal records, including 100,000 assaults, 30,000 sex crimes, and 4,000 violent murders or killings. The crisis of illegal immigration impacts all Americans, threatening public safety, overwhelming public resources, straining our local schools and hospitals, undermining U.S. workers, and claiming countless innocent lives. And I will tell you, I want people to come into our country, but they have to come in legally. They have to come in through a process.
That's Trump speaking to the Farm Bureau on Monday. He also claimed there would be immigration policies friendly to agribusinesses seeking cheap farm labor.
You know, when we have proper security, people aren't going to come, except for the people we want to come, because we want to take people in to help our farmers, etc. Very important. We're going to make that actually easier for them to help the farmers, because you need these people. No, you need these people. We're going to make it easier.
That's Trump speaking to the Farm Bureau on Monday. In other news, the GOP has stripped Republican Congressman Steve King of Iowa of his leadership role in the House Judiciary and Agriculture Committees. The drastic action came in the wake of comments that King had made in a New York Times interview last week, where he said, quote, white nationalist, white supremacist, Western civilization. How did that language become offensive? He later said he was a nationalist and defended Western civilization's values, but that he was not a backer of white nationalist and white supremacist ideas. The Times explained that King, quote, helped write the book on white identity politics that are ascendant in Mr. Trump's Republican Party. And King himself boasted, yes, Mr. President, I market-tested your immigration policies for 14 years, and that ought to be worth something. The GOP has seemingly just realized that King is a white supremacist and has now barred him from committee assignments for the next 2 years. King has been elected 9 times in his Iowa district. Meanwhile, Democratic freshman New York Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez called King out on Twitter, saying, quote, freedom of speech does not mean freedom from consequences. She added, King's district should start working to replace him in 2020. Regardless of party, it's not good for a district if their representative has such reprehensible views that they aren't allowed to touch legislation with a 10-foot pole. Ocasio-Cortez continues to win over Americans with her bold progressive agenda and her ability to take on racist trolls, including those in the Republican Party. An analysis by Axios found that just 2 weeks into her job, Ocasio-Cortez, quote, has far more power on Twitter than the most prominent Democrats, including the congressional leaders and the likely 2020 presidential candidates. In fact, her engagement on social media is second only to Trump and has generated more interactions on social media, quote, than the 5 most prolific news organizations combined over the last 30 days. The National Safety Council, or NSC, has just released its latest assessment of the dangers facing Americans and found that 1 in 96 Americans now dies from opioid overdoses, which is higher than the risk of dying in a car accident. A spokesperson for the NSC told CBS, the opioid crisis remains an abstract issue for many people. They still believe it will not happen to them, or it isn't a risk facing them or their family. These numbers show the gravity of the problem our country is facing. We need to reprioritize and regroup because all these deaths are preventable. And that does it for our headlines today.